This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. It's a Monday, the 22nd of April. I'm about to turn my phone off so I avoid seeing wrestling spoilers. Just a classic Monday.
Classic wrestling Monday.
Yeah, it feels like there's always a wrestling show on lately.
I know. I feel like they're just always wrestling.
Yeah, that's life, baby.
No, well, on that point, because obviously we had Triple H and Rhea Ripley on the show.
Yeah.
I was blown away by their schedules.
Yeah.
Because, you know, normally with most sports, they come in seasons, right?
Yeah, no seasons here.
Whereas wrestling, which is probably arguably one of the most physical sports you can do, they just throwing each other about all year round.
That's it. Yeah. And that's why the time off they get is normally forced from injury. So,
well, poor Rhea Ripley, that's what happened to her.
Yeah, that's right. She's injured at the moment. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But anyway, this is another wrestling company that I'm watching today, AEW, so I'll get to that.
Too much to keep up with between the storylines and all
that. I don't really watch WWE that much, only because they came to Perth and I put a bit of interest back into it, but I'm more of an AEW guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, more of the underground wrestling guy. I'm a cool guy. I like my indie music and I like my wrestling indie as well. Let's do Alpha Bucks. Jesus would have been helpful for our listener today who played. They'd listen to the podcast because the first question out the gate we tried to help them out with, they didn't have the answer, Carly.
Yeah. I know. I try not to get too frustrated because I'm like, everyone has time to listen to the podcast.
For sure.
But thank you to those that do, because it really, we do want to help you out, because sometimes it'll literally come down to the one that we've given you and we're like, you could be $1,000 richer.
You could. Starting with the letter H for hamburger, your question, Carly, is, was that I got two. There's two tricky ones. All right. Starting with H, name me a famous celebrity chef.
Heston Blumenthal? What's his name?
You've done it.
Is that his name?
That's his name.
Heston Blumenthal.
I think they go Phil. So Heston Blumenthal, isn't it?
Oh, Blumenthal.
Even though it's spelt Thal.
But oh, I don't know.
I would have taken it. I would have just gone Heston.
Heston. Okay.
I was chatting to one of our techs who work here in the office, and he said that because he's a foodie, loves food.
Oh, Ryland, yes.
Ryland, yeah. And
we met his lovely nieces in Albany.
Yes, that he went to the restaurant in London. He was like on his bucket list. That was the thing he wanted to do, and he got to sit there. And I was like, "What was the food any good?" He goes, "It was one of the best meals of my life."
See, I'm not a foodie enough to appreciate high. What is it called?
No, but good food.
High dining? Fine dining.
Yeah, but good food is good food.
No,
do you know what I mean?
See,
you think it's wasted on you?
I disagree. 100%. Like, we're researching restaurants to go to when we go to Auckland, and Russell goes, "Oh, this one's highly rated and this and that." And I don't mind paying a little bit extra for food if it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But I looked at the menu and it's like, when it's got more than like 7 or 8 things written about it, I'm like, it's too much. It's wasted on me. Too many flavors. I'm not going to understand it. And I feel like the bigger the list about the dish, the smaller it is too.
I was literally about to give you the dumbest food recommendation for New Zealand because you're a vegetarian. I was about to say, you need to get yourself a burger from Burger King. And then I was like, wait.
No, Burger King do great vegetarian burgers.
No, but I was going to recommend because the meat tastes so good. I'm like, wait, who am I talking to?
Well, yeah, maybe that one is lost on me. Yeah, but, I'm not a fine diner. I don't.
Really good dairy products like cheese and milk. And
yeah, I'll be getting into that.
Yeah, get into that. Well, I'll be. When are you doing that again? When's that, June?
June. Yeah, we're going for first week of June.
Oh, that'd be good.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
It's our first overseas holiday since COVID, which is funny because Russ never wanted to go to New Zealand. He's been all over. He's like, New Zealand, it's not really been on my bucket list. And then we went there. He loved it. And now we're going back.
Yep.
Full circle.
Full circle. Well, enjoy the podcast. I've got a wrestling show to go watch. See ya.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Over the weekend, I was watching the Margaret River Pro. Shout out to Jack Robertson, our own, who took it out. But Sally Fitzgibbon, after her heat, come out of the water and took off her rashi and gave it to some kids that were waiting on the beach, as well as her leg rope. And I just feel like, what an amazing piece of memorabilia, and just so selfless of her to do that. So on 131060, we're asking, what memorabilia did you score? Let's kick it off with Chaz in Australind. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Cheers to you.
Cheers.
Now, Chaz, what did you get?
Well, many moons ago, when I was in Singapore on a little trip, I went into a CD store, if you remember those.
Yep.
And I was after the new Savage Garden CDs. So I couldn't see it on the shelf. So I asked the chap, you know, did he have the new one? And he said, oh, I have one left. He said, they were just in here a moment ago doing a promo And it's a signed one. Would you like that one? I said, oh, I think I better have that.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Do you still have it?
I do indeed.
That's, what a score. That's brilliant.
That is so cool. Did you have to pay extra for it being signed, or just normal price?
No, it was just retail price.
Right place at the right time.
That is awesome, Chaz. Thank you. Let's go to Lara in Gemmalling. Lara, what was the memorabilia for you?
I got the Oscar Allen signed footy ball from the last year's game.
Oh, there you go.
I love that.
How did you get that?
At Optus Stadium.
Yeah, and so was it after the game he just gave it to you?
Yeah.
Oh,
good on her. That's the Oscar we know and love.
Well, yeah, he's on the show. Yeah. We get him on for every home game for the West Coast Eagles, so that's very cool. We'll make sure that we say... You want us to say hello for you, Lara, next time he's in?
Please.
He's not here now. You don't need to be nervous. Let's go to Sonia in Bunbury. What was the memorabilia for you?
I went to see the 360 concert on Saturday in Dunsborough, and I got a photo, a hat, and his VIP pass. And he sent a personal message to my grandson and my son that said, keep going on what you're doing and your dreams will come true.
Oh, that's so great. That's beautiful.
That's the first time I've ever been to a concert in my life, and it was only because of my son couldn't go.
Yeah, he gave me
a ticket to go with my daughter-in-law.
Wow. There you go. I wouldn't go to another one, to be honest. They're not going to get better than that. Just cap it there.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I thought producer Shelby was jumping in for this, but turns out she's been very hard at work preparing you with all the notes in the world over what has been her obsession over the weekend, safe to say?
I feel like it's all of our obsessions. Oh. And that is the fact that Taylor Swift has made streaming history as the Tortured Poets Department breaks multiple records in less than 24 hours. Now, the thing about Taylor Swift is whenever she puts out any body of work, mm-hmm. people love to, I guess, tear it apart and debunk kind of where it came from, what the hidden meanings are. Now, Taylor's had a very public life, especially very public love life. So mm-hmm. this was kind of the first album since her breakup from Joe Alwyn. He's an actor. He's British. So a lot of people were speculating, like, ooh, we're going to delve into that relationship, because Taylor Swift doesn't really give interviews. She gives us songs. So let's get into it. So one thing that was kind of a surprise, and for Taylor Swift to pull off a surprise with all those Easter eggs she gives us is huge. So she dropped a surprise second album, The Tortured Poets Department, The Anthropology. It dropped at 2 a.m. the night after the first album's release. So a lot of people were going crazy for that. Now, the question was never if, but merely how hard Swift would go about her exes.
Yep.
So British actor Joe Alwyn, as I mentioned before, was definitely heavily featured on a lot of songs. But the one that people were interested in was also Matty Healy from the 1975.
Because they were together for a little while, yeah, but that was when he actually...
A fortnight.
Because he came to Australia in that time, from memory, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Perth in particular, yeah.
Yeah, now obviously he is not the most popular guy out there, and he comes with a string of controversies. But it's safe to say that he definitely had a lot of, I guess, mentions, and he was alluded to a lot. So some of the songs that they're saying about Matty Healy is Fortnite, which is obviously the track with Post Malone that we're all loving. We played it earlier this morning.
Yep.
The Tortured Poets Department, Down Bad, But Daddy, I Love Him. Florida, which is my personal favorite, with Florence and the Machine.
Yep.
I Can Fix Him, No, I Really Can. The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
This one. I don't miss what we had, but could someone give
a message to the smallest man who ever lived? Yeah, it doesn't paint a pretty picture there.
No.
Now, let's talk about the album's title. So it reportedly comes from a WhatsApp group that Joe Alwyn was a part of with actor Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott. So they actually revealed in an interview that they were a part of a group chat and it had similar name to the Tortured Men's Department. So obviously we knew that the shade was going to be thrown. But apart from talking about Joe and So many tracks definitely reference their relationship, like My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, So Long London, How Did It All End, I Hate It Here, I Look In People's Windows, and so many others. But the big takeaway, the one that everyone was talking about, was a song called Thank You, Amy. Now, there were three letters that were in caps, which was K-I-M.
Yeah.
Which alluded to her. Well, actually, you know what? It didn't even allude. It was blatant about her feud with Kim
as
Kardashian.
Subtle as a sledgehammer.
And let's just listen to how brutal she got.
Well, that's I'm just grateful it's not about my cousin Amy, because that's what I was worried about.
No, it's not. And fans are really taking this one to heart, because if you go to Kim Kardashian's Instagram today, you will see all of the comments flooded with "Thank you, Amy." So the Swifties are out in full force. It has definitely reignited that feud. We'll wait and see what Kim has to say in rebuttal. As we know, she can't carry a note or dance. So I don't know how that's going to come, whether it's a form of a social media post. Taylor Swift, love the album. But you definitely don't want to be the subject of it. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Here Breakfast with Alan and Carly. And during that song, Carly, you looked very, very nervous.
I'm sweating because I'm about to make a huge life decision. Mm. And I'm not making it. You guys are. Because I can't handle such responsibility. So we've got two WA teens, we've got Frio, and we've got West Coast. Yep. Now, I'm not going to lie, I have not locked in my team. I've been here for a couple of years now. It is time to be a grown-up girl. I can't be a footy flip-flopper anymore. I've got to commit to a team.
Yep.
And you guys are going to tell me which one to commit to. Because I feel like everyone in WA would have had to have made this decision at one point. And a lot goes into it.
Well,
I could go either way.
Well, we're locking in a decision today, which is great for me because I don't have to deal with this flip-flopper over here who constantly keeps changing her mind depending on which story we're covering. We're going to kick it off with Marianne from Australind. What team should Carly go for?
Oh, Carly, girl, blue and gold all the way, baby.
Okay, I do like, I like purple. I feel like I wear purple better.
One vote for West Coast.
Right, all premierships, and we've got Harley Reid.
Oh, you know, he is a little bit of a looker. He does look nice on the field. Okay, you know what? Now, you made some points about the football, the premierships, right? So they've got a bit more bling than Frio.
In fact, Frio has none.
Okay, I do like winning. All right, so that's a vote for West Coast.
Yeah, I'm putting that in the West Coast column. Thank you. Let's go to Tony in Bunbury. Tony. Who should Carly go for?
Got to go for Frio.
Okay, now I'm getting conflicting messages.
Sitting on the bottom of the ladder.
Okay.
I think they're just
I do
now.
Appreciate an underdog story too, Tony.
They've been an underdog forever, but...
They'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah, so will Hawthorn.
I don't even think you're convinced you're a Frio supporter anymore, Tony.
No, Carly, this is
our... I'm not actually a Dockers supporter.
No, of course not. Who is?
Carlton.
Oh.
Yeah. I was going to say, you did have the sound of despair like a Frio supporter. You know, that little bit of woe is me, little bit of like, you know, they're just happy to be there. You know, bless.
No. You got to go for the Dockers.
Okay.
All right. We got
I'm
one
not convinced
vote
considering
West Coast.
He doesn't. So.
We got one vote West Coast, one vote Frio.
Okay.
Let's go to Yvette from Kununurra. Which team is Carly going for?
Carly, there is only one team in WA, mate, and that's the Eagles. Just look at the cabinet.
Okay. Like I said before, I do like some bling. I do like winning.
Four premierships.
So, Yvette, what made you decide to be a West Coast supporter?
Oh, I'm West Australian through and through, and I'm a member, so you've got no way else out of it, have you?
Well, that is true. I mean, when you think about the team name, Fremantle covers Fremantle, West Coast covers the West Coast.
Yeah, that is true.
And they were here first.
And they're
going to win the next premiership.
Wait, when are we thinking that's going to happen, Yvette? Real talk? I don't think that's happening this year.
No, not on the AFL, but between the Dockers and Eagles.
Oh, yeah, between
the... Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to throw shade, right. But yeah.
Yeah, right. They'll be the next premiership team.
Yep, well, after the last the game of the Derby, absolutely. Let's wrap it up. All right, so what do we got? 2 West Coast, 1 Frio.
It's not looking good for
Frio. It's not looking good for Frio. Andrew, who do you think Carly should support?
Yeah, mate, I think she should support Eagles because they're the first team in WA.
There you go.
And just hold on. There's only one ship that hasn't been to Frio, and that's the Premiership.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm looking at the numbers here.
Yep.
West Coast, baby! I'm a West Coast supporter! I do like they have that eagle that goes around as well.
Yeah. I hate both teams, so it's going to be hard for me to deal with you.
No, I'm all in now, baby. I am AFL. Woo! Let's go, the Eagles. Yep. I can't wait to tell Oscar Allen now. Because I was on the fence last time.
Okay.
I'm going to say, you know what? You've now got a new supporter, Oscar, so you're going to have to try a little harder for that premiership this year.
Let him get over his injury first, mate.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and MasterChef Australia Season 16 hits the screens tonight on Channel 10 and 10 Play. To catch up and to chat to us is a judge for the new season kicking off. It's Poe. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
An absolute pleasure, Poe. Got to say, congratulations on getting the role as a judge. You've kind of been in and out of the series since you first joined it. Must be exciting to officially be a judge.
Yeah, look, it is a very full circle moment for me, and it's half thrilled and half very intimidating.
I mean, it's a hell of a legacy, right? So you're like, oh God, I'm just going to make sure I keep the ship floating because no one wants it to sink on your watch, right?
Exactly. We won actors in a row, and I'm like, oh God, so much pressure.
That's how I feel about this show every day.
Yeah, and also I talk about this all the time, but like when I do my own show, I've kind of got I'm very casual and colloquial and have a bit of a goofball energy. So like being top of room, you've got to have gravitas, you know. So like I'm like, can I bring it? I don't know, but I gave it my best shot, guys.
I love to hear that.
Now, quite often when we have judges on this show, they typecast you with a certain personality. Like they know they're going to get a certain form of critique out of you. Now, Poe, we've never known you to be the critical judge, but could we see you cast in that role this season of MasterChef?
Yeah.
You very well could.
Oh, that was
a great bad guy voice. I like that. That was good.
You very well could.
Oh, God, no.
Is that better?
That's too scary. I found it scary.
Look, we do have to make sure we're making the most fair, thorough choice on the day, and that means you do have to be critical. But it's still, you know, the brand is all about positivity. So there's always good things to talk about in the dish. But yeah, we have to get really hard sometimes. Not harsh, but we have to give them enough to know where they went wrong so that it's a useful exercise. So that next time they cook, they don't make the same mistakes.
I want to know if we're going to get that classic Matt Preston moment again. You know, the one where he went, oh, this food, it's disgusting. And then he like throws the plate on the ground and goes, disgustingly good. I need it.
You might get that from John Christophe. Just a little heads up.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're talking about, baby.
He's taken over that role. That's not me personally. Me is more, I am more gazing into the ceiling, trying to find my words.
Now, Poe, you mentioned your own show, which has been very successful for a lot of years. Does it feel weird to be behind the camera and not behind a stovetop? Like, which do you prefer?
I much prefer being behind a stovetop because it's my little pacifier. You know, I've got something to do. It's standing top of room in a very lovely frock and having to hold that space is very, very intimidating. I just want to like do a weird dance or like I find it really hard to contain that energy, especially because that room has so much meaning for me. Honestly, I have to hold back tears all the time because this competition has given me so much and clearly continues to do so. And it's filled with so much emotion and feeling about what it's given me. But also, I can feel the hopes and dreams of all the contestants. It's thick in the air, you know? So, yeah, there's all that. Yeah, it's a very, very special space, that's for sure.
Before we let you go, Poe, I just wanted to get your recommendation on, I've been eating food that I put in my freezer in like 2020 lately. I'm kind of working my way through our pre-cooked meals. Is that wrong? Is that the right amount of time for it to go for it, or should I be throwing this out?
Look, I am a migrant.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking the wrong person. I would give it a go.
Poe, that's all I wanted to hear. That's all I wanted to hear. MasterChef's back, baby, season 16. Tune in for the premiere 7:30 tonight on Channel 10 and 10 Play. Poe, thank you so much. Permission to keep eating this food and feeling terrible. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for your support.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I have mentioned before and a million times since that Jewel and I are expecting a child.
How exciting.
Very exciting. By the way, this is a quick side note tangent. I thought, because I've kind of dropped it on the show a couple of times. We had a few weeks ago on a Friday at 6 a.m. I just came out and said the gender, like just straight out. And you called me up and went, did you? And I went, I did. And they were like, ah. And so I just assumed, because everyone listens to the show at least the whole 3 hours we're doing it, that everyone now knows the gender. But they don't.
No, not really. So I mean, it's up to you. I know now.
Yeah, you know.
Which I was very excited about. We all know.
So
most people know now because I saw people putting in the Alan and Carly Facebook page congratulating you.
So I was thinking maybe on, because we've got Thursday, Friday off this week, maybe Wednesday I should do a bit of a thing, you know?
Do like a burnout in a V8 and get the tires spinning.
Yeah,
and the...
now we're talking. Maybe not that. maybe something else. But maybe we'll talk about this off air. But maybe Wednesday I can finally just get everyone on the same level. Around this time on Wednesday, let's just say that. Okay. There you go. I planned it. Producer Shelby put in the sheet. But in preparation for the baby arrival, I have been busy like an absolute idiot getting the house back up to scratch. So we built the house about 8 years ago. And when you get a new house built, must be nice, it settles and there's cracks that appear in the walls and all sorts of kind of things that just kind of come with time. So I was like, hey, baby's on the way. I want to get this house up to a perfect nick so I don't have to touch it again while I'm dealing with that whole baby situation.
Mm.
Now, I went at it like an absolute idiot. First thing I did was like, well, I've got to deal with all these cracks, right? So I learned on YouTube how to deal with it. I got the little like knife thing out and carved all the holes out and made it so they wouldn't happen again and plastered it all up. So I started doing that. Instead of the normal advice would be, hey, you want to do that, do it in the one room. Then you paint the one room. Then you've done the one room, right? I decided to do it throughout the whole house. So now our house just looks like it was a shelter at some point. It's just been absolutely destroyed. Just holes everywhere and like weird patchwork everywhere. And I've been saying to you, and I've been saying this the last few weeks, that I'm going to go home, I'm going to paint.
Which, you know, my house is, I would say,
tiny.
You could probably fit like at least 10 of my houses in yours.
Oh, no, I'm not that well off.
But your house is a lot bigger.
At least four.
So and when I first moved in, like obviously we had to do all the painting and patching ourselves. Like it hadn't been touched in 20 years. I think we did it over 2 weekends.
Yeah.
No, I know.
That's the thing is you've dedicated a whole day to it. Me, I've been kind of going, oh, I'll do it in between watching this. I'll do it between doing that.
Oh, you got to get in there.
And I agree. So on Friday, I literally like went, I'm going to go home, I'm going to paint. And you're like, how many painting you got to do? I'm like, I'm going to paint, I'm going to paint.
I know, I was doing the maths. I'm like, you've been painting for years.
So I've been doing the cornices around certain rooms, but I hadn't been doing the actual walls. And I've got to be honest, I've been very intimidated by this. I've been watching a ton of YouTube tutorials. I'm the kind of guy where I will research something to death before I make a purchase.
See, I never did any of that. I just patched and painted.
Yeah, see, I don't do that. I want to make sure I do it right. And so I've done all this research and there was no more YouTube videos to watch. There was no more people to ask.
And
there was
no more
books to read. There was no more bunning staff to harass.
Can I just say that, Alan, hot tip, because I just, you know, didn't do any research, patched and painted. Just say to people when people like go, oh, it's a textured wall.
No,
it's a featured wall.
Because it's a newish house in the sense of 8 years. It's not, I can't make it look
like yours. Yeah, it doesn't
look
rough.
Your house is meant to look rough.
It's got character, people.
My house is meant to have walls that are smooth. Call me crazy. But I did it. I did the front room.
Oh, wow.
I kicked Jewel around.
You've done one room.
Please.
Okay.
Let me have this.
I'm happy for you, but one room is the size of my whole house, so.
Yeah, it is. But it is done. The one room is done. I feel like I did a pretty good job. I went through and I got the right paint with the right paintbrush with the angle on it, so I could really do the cornices. And I've done such a good job.
I think you've watched by the end of the last room. You're not going to care. You're not going to care about the special paintbrushes.
No.
You're going to be slapping it on there, anything to get it done. Trust me.
I can tell you that's true because I've already begun the second room. And let me tell you, not as much care. I now get the whole second child thing being neglected versus the first child. It is the exact same thing. So watch this space, probably in about, baby's due in July, probably about August, I reckon I'll have three rooms done.
I can come over and help you paint. You want a couple of textured feature walls?
Now I'm going to go into a song. What a shame.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.